wondering what's going on, it's going to be absolute chaos tonight. I'm just going to tell you. people have been wondering, what's the secrets going on? And I'm going to have the kids help me out, and we're going to pull them out in just a moment. But just want to say thank you again for the opportunity to come together and to listen to God's word. And I know that, you know, when I come in, especially to a period like this, when I have sermons over several nights, you know, we've had five sermons over 4 days. And it's just like the Lord allows me to dig and dig, and I just want to keep digging. You know, I just get so much out of this. Like all day I'm just thinking about these things. And I hope that the Lord has been taking the word and putting it in you so that day after day it's just kind of riding with you, and you're chewing on it and pulling it back up and saying, oh, look at this great nugget of the Lord. He's so precious. And I hope that that's been a reality for you as well. It has been for me. So I appreciate you taking the time with me to look at the word. If we could, let's pray. And then we'll start getting into tonight and pulling out the surprise. So, Father, thanks for all that you have done this week. We just look back at the past few days, and we look at you in awe, knowing that you have included us to hear the message that was foretold by prophets and through the law, and then fulfilled in Jesus. And we've just been so fortunate to look at those things, and that you have given us understanding, not so that we'd be filled up with knowledge, but so that we would cast our eyes upon Jesus, so we might be saved by him, that we might be redeemed by him, that we might be forgiven by him, refreshed by him, and revived by him, Lord. And so we pray that tonight you do the same thing, that you would just complete this journey that we've been on, and we know that you'll be faithful. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so what's going to happen? I'm going to have the kids. They're going to come out, and they're going to be doing something. I'm just going to warn you, it's going to be super distracting, but it's going to be super worth it. If you are able to pay attention and ride with me in the Word for a little bit, you're going to see what they're doing, and it's all going to come together at the end, and it's going to benefit us as we're studying the Word. They're going to be hearing it too, and it's going to benefit them, and it's going to benefit you, because I guarantee you what's going to happen tonight, you won't forget it. You're not going to forget what happened, and they're not going to forget it. It's going to ride with them, and so I just love when the Lord lets us do something together and be a little bit nuts, because that's what's actually going to happen in tonight's story. So let me go get the people and tell them that we're ready, and they're going to start doing their thing. And now that we've all kind of prefaced all this, let me go get them. All right, you guys can start whenever you guys are ready, okay? You know, I'm not going to come get you again. Just come start doing what you need to do. All right, they're just going to start making their way out, doing their thing, and we're going to do our thing, and we'll see how this works. It could be just absolute utter chaos. So we've been looking at the harvest festivals and the scriptures. We've been looking about how the Israelites had these events that would occur and how yearly they would celebrate those events during their holidays. And so we've taken a look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, broken down into three parts: the Passover, the seven-day feast known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. After that, we took a look at the Feast of Weeks. That was last night. We saw how 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there was the Pentecost, and then how Jesus fulfilled that when he started the church and then helped us become part of the fruits of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we are going to take a look at the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Booths. I know that sounds weird. Some of you probably thought I said the Feast of Tooths. Like, what is this, like a dental holiday? What is going on? We all get toothbrushes? That's not what's happening. It's the Feast of Booths, Feast of Booths. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history. While you're kind of watching and wondering what's all going on up here, let me give you a little bit of history again to review. The Israelites, they had been in Egypt. They were slaves. God came in and rescued them by his mighty strong arm. He used Moses. He recovered the Passover and how he had spared them. When the death angel came, he pulls them out of Egypt. Now, as they're coming out of Egypt, they're wandering, and they're on their way to a place called the Promised Land. The Promised Land. And so in between Egypt and the Promised Land, you have this situation that happens in the life of Israel, and that is they're in this wilderness. They're not in slavery anymore, and they're not yet at the Promised Land. I'm trying to distract you right now because everybody's like watching kids. What is going on? That's all right. That's all part of it. In between slavery and the Promised Land, they were in the wilderness. I mean, can you imagine not just packing up your family, but you have packed up all of Johnston County, all of North Carolina, all of America, all the entire nation of your people, and you're wandering around in a desert. Where are you going to get food? Where are you going to get water? Where are you going to get shelter? A whole nation wandering around for years and years and years and years. And yet the Lord provided for them and did all these things. When the wilderness throughout Scripture, there's something that happens continually in the life of Israel. There's a motif, they call it, called the wilderness motif. The Israelites were in the wilderness. John the Baptist called people to the wilderness. The prophets sometimes, even Jesus, when he was tempted, went to the wilderness. And let me ask you, in the parts of Scripture when we've read about wilderness, what kind of experience is it for people? Is it luxurious? No. Do they have showers and bar soap and those types? No. Do they have lots of food, you know, at times, but it's not always what they wanted? And so wilderness was always a time of trial, a time of, it was really hard. It took a lot of doing to just keep your eyes on the Lord and trust Him for what He was about to do. Amen. And so those people who came out of slavery and were settled in the wilderness, there was a lot of testing that went on. Just like when you find yourself in a place where maybe you know that was really awful over there and over there is really good, I'm going that way, but I'm stuck in a place that I would really call wilderness. I don't even know what's going on. And you're stuck in a place called wilderness. And it really is that test of faith. It's the Lord giving you a trial and letting you undergo some circumstances that are tough, some circumstances that you really have to focus on the Lord. That's where Israel was. They were in the middle of a wilderness. They were in the middle of having to rely on God in the midst of trials. And so tonight, as our helpers are doing their thing, I'm going to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. We've been there a couple times reading this week. And in Leviticus 23, it tells us about this third and final feast that we're going to look at tonight, the Feast of Booths. Leviticus 23 at verse 33 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths." Another word there that might be in your Bible is tabernacles. That was another word, or a dwelling. The Feast of Dwellings, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. To the Lord, on the first day you shall be a holy. There shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day, besides the Lord's Sabbath, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So up till now, this sounds like a pretty normal feast. Okay, you're going to get together. You're going to come down to Jerusalem. You are going into Jerusalem and you're going to celebrate another harvest. It's another harvest festival. This one happened in the fall. And it was when all the final pull of the harvest was coming in for fruits and vegetables and some of the other grains that were coming in. It was the final harvest and they were to celebrate the final harvest. So they've already had two harvest festivals, looking at first fruits, looking at the end of the wheat harvest. And now they're at the very end of the agricultural season, almost into the rainy season. And the Lord tells them, I want you to have one more feast. And this one, you're going to bring all these other offerings of all this other produce. And just remember how good the Lord has been to you to provide all these things and to ask for blessing into the next agricultural year, because you're going to have to plant again. You have to work again, and you're going to need crops to come again next year. So you're praising Him for how faithful He's been and trusting Him that He's going to bless you in the next year. And that's where we get the Feast of Booths. That was the beginning. But now there's an additional part here at the end, which is why these kids are doing what they're doing up here. This is what it says. This is part of the festival. Verse 42. you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feasts of the Lord. So combined with this harvest festival, the people were not only to look at the fact that God had given them plenty of food to eat and was providing for their needs, and that he did that throughout the wilderness period when they needed food. He gave them manna, he gave them meat, he gave them water. He was very good to them. They're to remember all those things. But he also said, when you all go to Jerusalem, I want you all to make booths. I want you to make tabernacles. I want you to make dwelling places. Basically, all of Israel was going to Jerusalem and having a big day where they made forts. That's what they did. It was like a little kid's dream. We get to go to Jerusalem, and Dad and I are going to make booths. We're going to make a fort. And so if you can imagine, all the people that would usually pile in to Jerusalem for a festival now aren't staying with people who live in Jerusalem or nearby Jerusalem. They're all going to Jerusalem and building things that are similar to what our kids are building tonight. They would build things that looked very similar to this. And they would take and they would not only cover them in different types of branches and trees and things, and but they would also hang fruit on them to remind them that the Lord had been so gracious to them. And they would live in these booths. They would basically tent out in Jerusalem as a nation for 7-8 days here during the Feast of Booths. It was pretty awesome. And it was all to remind them of what the Lord had done. And so the Lord was reminding them of something very, very important. As he brought them out of Egypt and was taking them to the promised land was the destination. They wanted to get there. But when they went through the wilderness, what did they live in? Tents. They lived in little forts. They lived in little things that they could pack up overnight, move to the next place, put them up. That's what they lived in. Why? What was the significance? I mean, why didn't God get them out to the desert and be, well, we're going to be by this spring for a while. Why don't you just construct a house? Settle down for a while. Why didn't the Lord let them go out to a place that was lush where he could just provide manna for a while and let them build a big apartment complex? You know, so all of Israel could just load into the apartment complex. Why did he have them build booths? And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because when God's people lived in booths, it was very evident who was in control. Because when people, it's just something that we do, when we take and we construct buildings, I don't know why it's built into us, when we construct buildings out of brick and mortar, and put roofs on them and settle them down, what do? Do we move? Rarely. We become established and we stay put and we do this thing. And you see that in the life of Israel. You remember what God's tabernacle was? What was it made out of? It was a big what? A big tent. This is a little tabernacle. God's house was a big tabernacle. Why? Because he would tell them where he wanted it to go. He said, now I'm leading you over here. Take this place to where you're supposed to worship me with you. Pack it up. I'm moving. I'm showing you where to go. You follow me. I'm going to bless you. I'm leading you to the promised land. So where you're at now, here's the reminder. Where you're at now is temporary. It's only for a while. Amen. And God didn't say, oh, your places are temporary. He said, even my house is temporary. Do you know what happened to the people of Israel after they had their tabernacle and they went and set it up? What was David's desire? Do you remember? God's been so good to me, I want to build him a temple. And David didn't build it. It ended up his son Solomon built it. And do you know what happened when Solomon built that temple? Do you know what happened to the mindset of the Israelites? No longer was it, the Lord will lead us in how he wants us to worship him and where he wants us to go. But something changed in the psyche of the Jews where now they controlled God. They got to orchestrate how worship went. And there really became a struggle with who was leading who in the relationship between God and Israel. How's it going back there? You guys are doing good. You guys know a little something. That's all I asked was for you to wing it. You kids are doing a pretty good job here. Do you kids know what you're building right here? Have you been listening? What are you kids building?
A fort.
A fort. What's another name for the fort we're building out of the Bible? Tabernacles. Good. Do you know what were the people celebrating? The Feast of? booths or tabernacles. They would build things like this in Jerusalem and celebrate with their moms and their dads and their brothers and their sisters. And they would probably take blankets, and maybe they'd take their dog or whatever. They would take it. Pillows. I hope they took a pillow because, man, that's more comfortable to sleep in, huh?
They also
did
it early in the morning.
Now, when the Feast of Tabernacles happened, it went on and on and on. But sometimes they forgot to do it. Like when they went off to exile, the law was lost. And so when the people came back from exile and they went back to Jerusalem, they didn't know they were supposed to do the Feast of Booths. And then it got reinstalled, it got reenacted. So they went down and they redid the Feast of Booths and they celebrated it so much that no one had ever celebrated it in such great awesomeness as they had since the time that Joshua had first done it when they came into the land. And so they would celebrate these Feast of Booths, but it goes on all the way to where you actually see Jesus go into the Feast of Booths in John chapter 7. Jesus, the one who told Israel to build these things in his holy city, actually went to Jerusalem during his ministry and participated in the Feast of Booths. Halfway through that time, while they were in Jerusalem, he would have been living in tabernacles such as this, and he gets up and he says who he is and what he's doing, and the Jews want to kill him. Some of them want to know, who is this guy? What is going on with him? I love when I hear cracking things back there. It just makes me feel like this building's going to work. I just love watching it. I know you guys do because you just watch it the whole time. I just love watching it. Now you might think, this is crazy. I mean, this is something they did, yeah, thousands of years ago with the Jews. And yeah, Jesus did it in John chapter 7. But do you know what? This is not outdated. We had Jewish friends in Seattle. There was an older couple that we knew. Not older couple. How old were they, your friend? 40s. See, that's at least two years older than I am. They're more than 40, maybe late 40s. But you would go by their house during the Feast of Booths, and for a week, they had a tent structure in their yard. Had another young couple, same couple I shared about last night. Young couple, he has an amazing job at Microsoft designing things. I mean, he's high tech, you know, high fashion, you know, great. And for a week in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would put a tarp and a whole tent structure off their back deck and live out there in the rain of Seattle for a week. The Jews still celebrate the Feast of Booths. They still celebrate it. And so you might think, well, this is something ancient. No, it's still being practiced among Jews even today, the Feast of Tabernacles. How's it coming? It's looking pretty good.
A little sleepier than that.
Everybody bring your sleeping bags? Now, I promised the cleaning ladies that I'm going to clean this up before they do. This is all my responsibility.
Are you literally going to sleep with her? Lynn was sleeping here. She got her sleeping bag.
Who did?
Lillian for her
sleeping bag. Yeah.
Me too.
You won't get those because I have.
And probably it won't fall. Hopefully it won't.
See, I told you this was temporary.
Very.
It's going to fall.
have any swings.
Where's those scissors at? Let's wrap this one up. These ones seal a little bit. You guys are doing awesome, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm making it stay.
I'm trying to cut.
I'm trying to cut it down.
I'm putting a little
bit. How's it looking? Any of them need retied anywhere? Cheater, cheater. Yeah, you get to sit and hold it. What's that? If you think it'll hold it. We put a few on there. Okay, kiddos, make sure we're not banging on it because it might fall over. Where's some more yarn? You got a piece of yarn? Anybody got a long piece of yarn? Elijah, will you cut me a long piece of yarn? This one's suspect up here. I need to retie this.
This one, too.
This one's.
That one's
getting pretty
old. Tie it down there, too. We need to tie it down there, too.
Okay, listen, kids.
Yes.
You guys want to stay and sit
yeah.
in the booth for a little while?
Yeah.
You can stay there as long as you don't touch it and wiggle it, and as long as you be quiet for a little while, right? Because you guys built such a cool structure. This is going to help us learn tonight, okay? No, we're not going to knock it down. We're going to live in it. We're going to live in it for 7 days. All right, I don't know about you, but I think these kids, and especially these helpers, need a big round of applause. And there's something that the Lord continued year after year to try to instruct the Jews, and that was, this is temporary. This is temporary. And what he is talking about when he's talking about the promised land isn't just that they would get to a land where they could finally hunker down and have their own place and put their flag up the flagpole and build some houses and just be there. It was all, again, illustrating the fact that they had come out of slavery. They were en route in the wilderness, so God would test them and ground them and build them up and strengthen their faith so that when they got there, they realized they weren't actually going to a place of dirt and a place where they could build a house. They were going to the Lord. They were going to Him because He is eternal. He's not temporary. He's eternal. Amen. And so His goal was to bring them out of slavery, get them to know Him in the wilderness so that when they got to the promised land, they would love Him, not their place. And so He used the Feast of Booths to remind them, remember when you were in the wilderness and you were like kids where I could tell you where to go and you would mostly obey? Remember? He wanted them to remember how it was to be following him and to going to him, and you strove for him. And I want to turn real fast to Hebrews chapter 11. Hopefully bring a little bit of understanding to all the chaos here. Hebrews chapter 11. And kids, I want you to hear about this guy real fast, okay? Listen to this. This is about Abraham. And this is what it says about Abraham. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith," listen up, "by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents." That word there is tabernacles, booths. He was living in things like this. "Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." And this is what it says. "For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer was God." Then going on in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus, they speak like Abraham, they speak with faith, they speak about things like this. It says, people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Do you know that when Abraham left, kids, he lived for a long time in tents? Do you know that? What if you guys lived in a tent? That'd be a tent? Do you know what a tent is? Like, you go camping, you got a tent, or you got a fort. In tennis? Yeah, I wouldn't live in tennis either. Tents. Oh, yeah. Well, they lived in tents. Yeah, and it was, yeah, it's not even a word. I won't use that one again. And they lived in tents. It was temporary. And it says about Abraham that when he went, he wasn't seeking just that land. He was seeking something far greater, a heavenly city whose foundations were firm and stable. That's where God was. He wasn't just seeking to go out to build himself a land. He was seeking God. And for those of us, it says that if we are seeking thus like Abraham, if we want to be people of faith, if we want to be people in Christ, then we are going to seek in Jesus, not a bigger house in Johnston County. We're not even going to seek to have a bigger church than what we have. Now, the Lord might have us to build a house. The Lord might have us to expand our church if needed, but that's not our goal. Our goal is not those things. Our goal is that when we are in faith in Jesus, we're not looking to do what the world wants to do. We're looking for Jesus himself. We're looking forward to something that is eternal and not temporary. Amen. And so the Lord does things like with Israel. He puts them in tents and says, "I want you to remember that this is all temporary. Your homeland is with Jesus for eternity. I want your heart to be there." And he would give them these booths to live in, to remind them over and over. And then it's not like that was just Old Testament, and now we have Jesus, and so let's build the big cathedrals, and let's hunker down, and let's live the American dream. The Bible says nothing about the American dream. That your whole goal in life is to make enough money to be established. Your goal as a Christian is to move and go wherever the Lord takes you. He has you buy a house, and you settle down in a neighborhood, and he has you there for a reason. It's him. But it's only temporary, because one day it'll burn with all the rest of this.
Amen.
If he has you to go rent a place, then that is temporary. Don't settle down in it. Don't look for the biggest upgrade you can get or whatever. It's all temporary. He's got something. It's him. And so the Lord will often challenge us. And you know why? Because like the Jews were often talked about, it says that they were stiff-necked and stubborn. They wanted their own way. They wanted to settle in their own nation. They wanted to have it their own king. They wanted to have it their own way. And they constantly fought God and said, "We want to be in control. We want to settle down. And this is our territory. And this is it. Right here." And God said, "I want you to remember that you're not from here. If you were in Christ, you are now an alien. This is not your home."
Amen.
And so whether it's in a tent or your brick house, it is temporary. It is temporary. This body, the scripture calls it a tent. It is temporary. It will die.
Amen.
It will get sick. It will wear out. And the Lord will come back and He will raise you up and He will give you that new body and you will be with Him forever. That's what's permanent.
Amen.
That is what's permanent. And so in the church, we need to be careful because we do a lot of things to establish what? Things that make us feel good, like nothing's going to move us. And so we have traditions. Some of them we need to be careful of. I'll just warn us right now. Homecoming. That even in things like that, it's like, let's all gather and remember that we just want to be here forever. You know what homecoming should be about? That one day we're coming home. And we will gather those who have gathered in this building and we've known them for maybe years and for 65 or however many years old this church and you've known these people and we'll gather together and we'll say, we will celebrate what God did through all those years and how He's gathered us, how good He has been to us. And in this homecoming of people coming home, we are going to celebrate that together we will be called home because we want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I have no idea whether people approve or disapprove of us building a tabernacle in this place. I consider it, if God is willing to have all of Israel build tabernacles in His holy city, and I think for a night that He'd be willing to let kids build a tabernacle in the church if it would help them to remember that God is their eternal home. See, it's temporary. This is a great reminder. This is temporary. Careful, kiddos. I didn't have you sign waivers. Yeah. Now, here's one thing that's miraculous. And I just want to tell you how cool the Lord is. Listen up. I want to tell you kids how cool the Lord is. Because when I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach for revival? And He began to reveal these Old Testament feasts. And so I began just to kind of look at what He had and mark down. And I kind of organized as the Lord was leading on this night and this night. And I the Feast of Booths came on the Wednesday night. And I was like, okay, I wrote it down. I didn't think much of it. And so I went back to the scriptures yesterday. And I was looking at how it says, this is to be on the 15th day of the 7th month, right? 15th day of the 7th month in the Jewish calendar. I was like, oh man, I mean, that's their calendar. What does that mean for us? And so I learned it's in October. And so I was like, I wonder, like, when is the Feast of Booths for 2014? Do you know when the Feast of Booths starts? Tonight. I had no idea. The Lord planned that. I had no idea that today is the beginning of the Feast of Booths. And today you have children and a couple adults in your church building forts, celebrating the Feast of Booths, drawing them not to just a yearly tradition that the Jews are doing, but tonight they're being drawn. And kids, I want you to remember one thing. Listen up right here. I want you to remember that Jesus wants you to not live in this place forever. Not this fort, not your house. Not this earth. You know why? He wants one day to come and have you come away with Him. And you know what? It's not about you going to heaven. You know what it's about? You getting to be with Jesus. You know why? Because all the time people talk about, well, when I die, I can't wait to go to heaven. When I die, I can't wait to go walk those streets of gold. When I die, I can't wait to go through the pearly gates. When I die, I can't wait to go meet my wife again, my aunt again, my dog again. We love all these pictures of what's going to be in some heavenly place, and we want to go to a place and see all these people, but you know who gets left out of that scenario? Jesus. Listen to people when they talk, and they say, I can't wait to get to heaven, and listen to their reasons. It might just be for heaven. It might be for all these people. It might be because they're done with wilderness. The Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, the book of Hebrews says that entire generation that lived in booths and they were being reminded it's temporary, do you know what happened to them? They all died.
Amen.
The Lord destroyed them. Do you know why? Because when the Lord took them out of Egypt and the Lord said, who wants to go free? Who wants out of slavery? Who raised their hands? All of them. And then they got out of the wilderness and he was having them do these crazy festivals and these things where he would put manna onto the ground for them to eat. And they said, we don't want this anymore. We'd rather go back to slavery and eat melons over there and have our homes again. We didn't come out here to die. Why'd you bring us out here, Moses? And the scriptures say that when they got out of the wilderness during the time of testing and when it got tough, they didn't want God.
Amen.
They didn't want God. They said, we want to give up on the eternal. We don't care about this promise anymore. We would rather go back to slavery, sin, and death before we go forward and be established with God. And you know what happened to the people who said that? It revealed in them they never believed at all. They died and were destroyed. And the Lord says, don't be like them. Be like Abraham. Be like those who were willing to give up what was temporary. It says in Hebrews, some of them had their houses taken away. Some of them had their heads chopped off. Some of them, they realized that this was all temporary because they couldn't wait to be with Jesus who's eternal. It wasn't about getting to heaven. It wasn't about having a mansion. It wasn't about any of it. It was about Jesus. And so that's the big reminder tonight. As we've looked at all these things that relate about the Hebrew agricultural festivals and these things, these are all propelling us towards Jesus. And if you're struggling tonight saying, man, I realize that I want everything temporary. You know what? That is probably the common factor in all of us. We just love the temporary. For some reason in our flesh, we think that's going to just satisfy us. But do you know what brings God the most glory? Do you know when He is the most extremely happy with you? When you are completely satisfied in Him. You know what makes the Father smile down upon you? When you say, Father, your gift of Jesus, that was enough for me. He is all that I need. When you say to God, God, I love you so much, but I got all this other stuff I want to kind of carry with me. You know what happens? You get crushed. That's when the weight of stress, that's when everything begins to pile up on you and the numbers and the dollar figures and the how am I going to make rent and all that stuff just begins to crush you. When you release those and just say, hey, this is all temporary. Lord, show me how to steward these things, but also remind me that it's all about you and just help me to listen and obey. So this week, if you've been going through the process of saying, Lord, I need to remember your blood shed over me. Lord, I need to take you the sin from me. And now you're in this place of kind of wilderness saying, Lord, what do I do next? I don't know what the necessary next steps are for you, but I guarantee you the thing that he's going to try to get in your mind next is that you would think about nothing other than Jesus. That every decision that's put before you from now to the day you die, that you would say, what does Jesus want me to do here? Because he's eternal. Nothing else is unless it's in Jesus. Some people want to put their faith in America, the American dollar. America's not eternal.
Amen.
We're here, we're citizens, we will pray for our country, we will do what we should do to obey and to participate. But America will not save you. Our religion, these things that we do, the Lord has us to participate and to be involved and to do these things. But your religion, that's not eternal. Jesus is. And He will tell you what He desires out of your religious practices. And He will tell you what to do every day. Oh, look to Him. And He will take all that burden off your shoulders and say, yeah, I'm with you. Let's have a homecoming where we say, we can't wait to come home to you, Jesus. We cannot wait because what we have here is temporary. And kids taking off their shoes and things like that. So I'm going to pray. And I don't know if this was effective for you. I know just thinking about this temporary stuff was really critical for me because there's a temptation in me. And I think as Katie and I talk about it, it's together that, you know, right now we have a temporary living situation. I know Trey and Shelley want it to last forever, but... you know, it's temporary. And there's a temptation in myself and Katie, I think for her as well. I'm going to speak for you, hon. But, you know, that we're going to start putting down a foundation in Four Oaks. And then up we'll go you know, some walls and a roof and windows and carpet and paint and furniture. And there's this temptation that we're going to leave a situation that's temporary. It's been great. I appreciate what the Johnsons have done. They've been so gracious. But we'll have to leave that temporary. And there's this temptation to say, but then we're going to be home. And I am praying to God that I just will not take that into my heart. That I'll finally step into that place in Four Oaks and say, now I can just settle down here. I want to live in Four Oaks, and I want to know my neighbors, and I want to be involved in the school, and I want to pray for and help the mayor, and I want to do all those things. I want to be there, but the Lord warns me not to settle down there. To say I'm always going to be here, and I got to protect this, because this world is not my home.
Amen.
That place over on Blackman and Stanley is temporary. And so I don't know what you bring to the Lord and say, Lord, this thing right here, I want it to be, and I want it to last. And I've got a home on the horizon. That is my struggle. And for you, it might be something else. I'll close with this. When Jesus talks about his coming back, and some of you stayed up and saw the blood moon last night, or got up early and saw the blood moon, and Jesus talked about that, and he's coming back soon, and one of the warnings that he says when he's coming back soon, he gives the illustration of Lot's wife. And when Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed, it says that the angels came in and they had to literally take Lot by the hand and say, this place is gone. They had to grab him by the hand because they thought he was joking. And they were leaving. And Jesus says, Lot's wife, don't be like Lot's wife. She was leaving town. What did she do? She looked back. Why did she look back? Just to see it? That's not why she looked back. You know why she looked back? She loved it. She loved it. She didn't want to leave her mom's china sitting in the cupboard. The family picture albums. Whatever was left back there, she said, I love that. And even the Lord's commanded me to press on towards him. I've just got to look back because I love it so much. What is that thing that you're looking back at? What is that thing in this earth that you say, I don't know if I can leave this? Maybe a house. Maybe just your situation in life. Maybe a person. This is temporary.
Amen.
And the Lord calls us to live like people who, if we're in Jesus Christ, are eternal. And we're waiting with Abraham and the others of faith for the day when Jesus comes and brings us home to him and to live with him forever. And again, it's that question, do I love anything more than I love Jesus? Is there anything where I say, I love Jesus, but I love this also, and I'm going to pair them up, and I'm just going to love both these things? It doesn't work. Just Jesus. Everything else is temporary. Father, we thank you for this reminder tonight, how absolutely incredible it is that you, in your omniscience, planned it out that we would be celebrating the Feast of Booths on the actual night that the Feast of Booths starts. Lord, at the end of this revival, to remind us that if we have been then called by Jesus, washed in his blood and forgiven of our sins, that we are not now to long for the world and to long for the things of our flesh. We are to long for Jesus. And Lord, these things that you put into our hands that are temporary, whether they be houses or bank accounts, cars, jobs, Lord, we pray that we would steward them well. But we pray that we would not love them and put them into the same category as you. We pray that we would steward them. We pray that we would obey you in them. We pray that you would remind us that this is temporary. That just as this structure that we have here at the front will be taken down, that all of this is going to be taken down. That you have said it'll all melt in fire as you destroy it and you make a new heaven and a new earth. And so, Lord, if there is a compromise in our love for you, which is causing us to look backwards, we pray that you convict us and that you'd have us to give that back to you and ask you if you even want that in our life. Lord, during this time of wilderness, we pray that you would test our faith and ask us whether we wanted set free just for a bunch of blessings, or that we wanted set free because we wanted to go to the one who gives blessings. We wanted to be with you. And Lord, I pray that you would make our faith strong, that we would seek Jesus and nothing else. We pray that our homecoming would be one where we gather together and look to Jesus and say, we cannot wait together to go home. To go home to our Lord. Tonight, if there's something on your heart, maybe you've had something that you've just known, it's sitting there right there, and it's that thing that you look back at. If the Lord was calling you today and you'd say, yeah, but what about that? I kind of love that, Lord. You've got that sin. I'm going to invite you to give that up. It might be about one of the hardest things you might do. For some, it may be something big like a house and all the treasures inside. For some of you, it might be something small. You never even realized you loved it so much until it was put on the line between Jesus and that thing. It may be an action that you don't want to give up. It may be an attitude that you don't want to give up, a thought. I'm going to ask you to do something brave. These kids have been brave to build the structure in front of you. And if you have something to give up, I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm not saying that if you don't come, you must not have something. I'm just saying if the Lord's put something on you and you want to establish a moment with the Lord and remember, Lord, I gave this up and it was at that revival service and I went forward and I left it with you at that temporary structure to remind me I'm just leaving it. I'm going to invite you to be able to do that. I want to give an illustration real fast. In the Old Testament, they would use altars. And every service, people come down to this altar area. And the purpose of the altars in the Old Testament was when somebody saw God do something amazing. When Abraham came into that land finally, and he saw this physical land that God was promising to his people, he built altars. And it says that people would go, and then they'd come back, and they could see that altar. Why? Because at those altars, they would remember something that the Lord had done there. That was the purpose of altars, was to mark a place where the Lord had done something in their life. The altar is a place to mark something that the Lord has done in your life. It's not just a place to go all the time, to get a feeling. It's an opportunity for you to say, man, look what the Lord did to me here. And I want to establish a memory right here so that when I came that night and I placed it at the altar, at the place of this tabernacle, and I put that temporary thing there that I love so much more than Jesus, and I put it there that night, I left it there, and every time I see a fort, a tent, sticks, or I go to that altar, I'm going to remember, I left that thing, it's sacrificed to Jesus, and I no longer live for it, I only live for Him and the eternal. And if there's something that you just want to come and put to the Lord here and pray, I'm going to invite you to do that and just give you a few moments and we're not going to do a song right now. I just want to have quiet. You're welcome to pray while you're right where you're at. The Lord leads you to come. Go ahead and come and pray and leave what's temporary at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I give it up.